As Ed said, happy 4th of July. It's a special time. We live in a wonderful nation, do we not? There's many people that have gone to war since the beginning of our nation. Many have given their lives that we could be free today, running around in a beautiful place like this. So we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful for men and women that have served in the armed forces that we could be free. So our nation's not perfect, but it is a good nation made up of people that are good people. So that's what we're talking about when we have, 4th of July. We are thankful for all the people that have been part of this nation and you guys that are here today. So Psalm 37, if you wouldn't mind, please. This week I was trying to decide whether I continue on in the Gospel of Luke, but for some reason, Psalm 37, everywhere I popped up, just went through my mind. So we're going to have just a short devotional here. But I want to start it out by a guy, anybody know Phil Roberts? Duck Dynasty? Yeah. He came out with a book called Jesus Politics. And I like it because what he simply goes back to is the Word of God. That's Jesus Politics. Really, the only politics that he has is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him need not perish but have everlasting life. So I like what he says in this book. I've been reading it. But I saw this section I would like to read. I think it just is very appropriate for the message today. He said this, "We are living in an age when the new state religion is atheism, and governments are removing expressions of faith left and right. We're living in an age where government actors are trying to shut down the practice of our faith in the public square, where an increasing tyranny of godlessness seeks to silence us. Are you okay with this?" He says that I'm not. And I know that I'm not, and that no doubt you are not. I'm not happy with what direction is taking place in the United States of America today. Good people are still here, but what the book really says is that we need to stand upon God's principles on the word, but we do need to stand in action in any way that we can love people. He goes on to say, "American Christian, it's time to bow up." In other words, get the weapons sharp. Well, we see the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 that we see there. It's time to bow up, to take some responsibility. The organizers of the American Revolution were godly men who took Jesus' message in Matthew 7, 24 through 27 to heart. I'll read that in just a moment. They wanted nothing more than for you to have the freedom to practice your Christian beliefs. They wanted you to exercise your faith in both your public and private life. They wanted you to speak out about it and to assemble together in your church. More than anything, they wanted you to build your life and the life of this country on the only sure foundation, the foundation of King Jesus' word. Amen? And so go with me with Matthew here, 7, just for a moment. Matthew 7. This is the foundation that he was talking about, Matthew 7. Verse 24 through 27. The words of Jesus, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe storms have come ashore in America. They're blowing. They're there in a spiritual sense, a very powerful sense that we see that. And we today have to build our lives, as you know, and as we stand and we teach all the time on the Word of God. Stand in that. We need to become stronger in that. We need to be men and women of prayer as the storms are coming in the spiritual sense. So again, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So today we have a choice. As you go back to Psalm 37, please, we have a choice. What will we choose? And I pray, as I know your lives, and I pray that we would choose to stand upon the word of God, and we will make a difference for our nation. I'm going to go after this right now. There's a celebration going on in Lawrence. There's a parade that's going on. throughout Lawrence. There's different activities. There'll be fireworks in Lawrence today. But we have a full day. After I'm finished here with this privilege, I get another privilege to go as a chaplain down in Lawrence and walk with the police officers and the fire personnel throughout the city until we're finished tonight, late tonight, after the fireworks and all of that. But we celebrate our freedoms. We celebrate what God has done in the midst of our lives. Amen? So God is good. He truly is good. So again, go to Psalm 37 as well. Just go through this as a devotion. In this psalm, I've covered this psalm before. I was kind of thinking, well, Lord, is it really you? Would we go back? Because I love this psalm, but I feel it's very, very appropriate. Appropriate for us to look at. In my Bible, it's entitled The Heritage of the Righteous and the Calamity of the Wicked. We won't spend a lot of time on the wicked, but as you go through this, you'll see them pop up. Actually, they pop up 27 times. Will you guys count them? 27 times. There's different things said about the wicked as we go through this psalm. But the main thing that we're going to be looking at as we go through this brief psalm here is 17 characteristics of those who have given their lives to the Lord. What is it to look like? What's our lives look like? What's it to look like for us today as Christians in America as we go about our jobs, as we go about our schools, as we go and walk through our neighborhoods? What are our lives to look like? So he gives us 17 pictures of that, snapshots of what it looks like. And then what you do as you go through the word, you see these snapshots, and then you go to other places in Scripture and allow Scripture to amplify that. We'll do very little of that because of the amount of time that we have here. But 17 characteristics of those who have given their lives to the Lord. Also mixed in with these two things. Again, 27 comments concerning the wicked. 17 characteristics of those who have given their lives to the Lord, but 35 blessings that belong to those who put their trust in the Lord. And so we put our trust in the Lord. How many have done that? Put their trust in the Lord. And so there's blessings as we go through this psalm. You'll see the blessings that we have today because we have made that step. We are blessed people. We're born in the United States of America. There's other nations, but America has stood for the word of God in many ways. I believe the founders, as you go through that, had the word of God in mind as they established this republic. But things have changed so much. But let's go back to see what we should look like, how we should walk in the midst of our lives as Christians in the midst of this great nation. Beginning in verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. A lot of times we can get upset, but Scripture starts out and say one of the characteristics of a Christian is that we do not fret. What does that mean? We do not allow ourselves to be annoyed. Is that easy? No, but we have to be very, very careful. It means do not, literally, it means do not get upset. Now, that is not easy because I get upset at different things. I see where the nation's going. I see what's going on. But we're seeing here that the encouragement is don't allow yourself to go that way. Protect yourself. Have the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God in your hearts. He'll repeat this. We'll see it as we go through this two other times. It's that important. Do not fret. And then we also see there in verse 1, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. We're not to do that. It is of utmost importance in our daily walks with the Lord that we do not desire the things of this world. If we do, they can become a snare to us. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It doesn't mean that we can't be blessed. It doesn't mean that we can't have a nice home. It doesn't mean that we can't drive a nice car. It doesn't mean that we can't have nice things. But when they become more important than God, that's where the difficulty begins and where it lies in our lives. And so, again, do not fret nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Sometimes we can look around. Why does that person always seem like they live a charmed life? And I know that they don't know the Lord. They don't love the Lord. Well, you know, God's still dealing with that person. Pray for that person. Reach out to that person in any way you can, because eternally, heaven's a good place. Anybody agree with that? Heaven is a great place. And our reward ultimately will be not the things of this world, but the things in heaven will be with the Lord forever and ever. And unfortunately, those that don't know the Lord will not go to heaven. He goes on in verse 3, and we see another characteristic, trust in the Lord. You all no doubt think about Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We are to trust the Lord. That's a characteristic. Notice in this verse he says, and do good. We are to do good in any chance, any way that we can. Over 15 years ago, I was sitting in my office, and I was thinking, Lord, I need to get out in the midst of our community. We're really blessed. The church is wonderful. The people love you and all that. But I have to personally get out into the community. We were reaching out. We were doing different things. But I felt he wanted me to take some of the time that I had and dedicate it. And that's when I go, well, I'd like to be a chaplain with the police and the fire here in Lawrence. And lo and behold, he opened that door. And it's a wonderful privilege to walk among the citizens here. You know, I go through the city now, and I can think, I remember the event that was in that house. I remember in that shopping center what happened there, different things. But I remember praying. We did have this opportunity. We try not to get the gospel of Jesus Christ into anybody's heart that we can. We don't force anything upon anybody. We're not allowed to do that. But we can share, and as long as they're open, and then we can pray with them. We ask everybody that we can we pray with you? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen? You know, we end our prayers in Jesus' name for purposes, real purposes. So trust in the Lord. Do good. Notice, dwell in the land. You know, wherever God places you, dwell there. Live there. Let your roots go down. Be involved, as I said, in the community, the neighborhood, the city, wherever it is that you you live. Join the school boards. Some of the school boards need some Christian influence, do they not? Join the school boards. Join the different things. Go to different things. Let your presence be known. We should reach out that way, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. What a beautiful part of the psalm there. We are to feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I love this verse. I believe it's something that God will do in our lives as we delight ourselves in him. He'll give us the desires of our heart. But I believe it will be the desires that he has placed on our heart. I always cry out for that. Protect me, Lord, that the desires would be that which you want. Place those desires on my heart, and I cry out for that. He goes on there, delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. It's very important, this relationship we have with the Lord. We commit our ways. Let him be our high beam and our low beam, as Psalm 119 speaks of there. And so, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also. He comes back. The psalmist comes back and says, trust also in him. Again, he says that. And he shall bring it to pass. You know, I love Philippians 1:6. It says, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, basically he will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can trust him to do that. We can believe in him. Sure, different things happen. It's not a perfect life. We live in this world. Sometimes people, unfortunately, get bitter at God because they don't understand what has taken place in their lives. I understand that. I've gone through different things. And I go, Lord, why was this allowed? But after I have my emotions walk through it, I come and I just say, God, you do not do anything other than out of love. And I've learned that because it says in the scriptures, God is love. So that means that everything he does is because of love. I don't understand it. May not seem because of love. But as I trust him, then scripture says all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. So I drive myself back to that. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. May that be what comes forth from our life. Then in verse 7, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. I've learned as I've gotten older, even more so, to wait on the Lord, patiently waiting on him, listening to his voice. Just recently, going through some things, trying to make some decisions that have been very important. So he takes me back, uses the book of Acts, chapter 9 there, and teaches me again, wait on me, listen to me. I will guide your steps. And I found him to be faithful, and I want to encourage you guys, just rest in him. Trust in him. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret, he comes in verse 9 or 7 again, because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger. He comes back to that theme. And forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, again, that theme he brings back, what will happen if we wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Someday, there's going to be a new Jerusalem. How many believe that? It's going to be a new kingdom established on this earth. Jesus is going to be the king. He's going to rule on this earth, and we're going to be able to be with him. It's a wonderful truth, a wonderful reality that we have. But evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And yet a little while, the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. That's what happens for those, unfortunately, that reject the Lord. Then they will go to a place where they will not be seen by the righteous ever again. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. A promise that we see there. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword, notice the enemy has a purpose. Verse 15, their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. We don't rejoice over the just result or the just payment that the wicked gets, but we rejoice in the fact that God's justice and God will reign in his truth and righteousness. Notice verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the upright and their inheritance shall be forever. Underline that. I love that. Notice the Lord knows the days of the upright and their inheritance shall be for how long? Forever. So we may sacrifice here on this earth. We may go through different difficulties because of our faith, but stand strong because the promise that is coming our way. We have a blessed future. We have a beautiful relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe that one day, as it says in Revelation chapter 19, he's going to return on a horse, a white horse. And he's going to come back and claim his rightful position on this earth. And those that have gone from this earth that are Christians, I believe will return with him. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'm going, and I'm going to a place to prepare a place for you. And where I am, I'm coming back to get you, and I'll take you to be where I am. And he does that for each and every one of us as Christians. We believe that today, do we not? The promises that we have in Scripture are amazing. So it seems at times the wicked prosper, but we have to look through that and understand. There's a battle. We take on the helmet of salvation. We understand that we are saved today. Breastplate of righteousness, not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The truth there, the belt of truth that we have. The gospel of Jesus Christ as we walk in that. The shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit of God. That's our armor as we go to battle against the wickedness that is in this world. But again, verse 20, the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadow, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him, by God, shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps, I love verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Wait on the Lord. Be patient. Stay in Scripture. Stay in prayer. Bathe everything. Commit your ways unto the Lord, and he'll establish the path that you're to walk on. All these principles that we see, they work, guaranteed. Don't become impatient. Learn to love. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God delights in our way when we walk with him. Verse 24, though he fall, He shall not utterly be cast down. We'll make mistakes, but we won't be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. The Lord protects us. I have been young, the psalmist says, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. What do? Can I go like this? Nothing to do? Can we turn it off for a bit? Oh, it's me? Okay. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. And look at verse 27, the encouragement this morning. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it. How long? What's it say? Forever. Again, a promise. It's repeated over and over, the contrast that we see. Just a little bit longer. Notice it says, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. That's what should come forth from our mouth, because the issues that come across our lips are the issues on our heart. So we need to see that. And then verse 31, the law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. And then again, verse 34, he comes back. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. Theme over and over and over that you see through the psalm. When the wicked are caught off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Then notice verse 37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is peace, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and shall save them. Why? Right there at the end, because they trust in him. Amen? So a beautiful psalm that we see, but I'd like to just, we saw 17 characteristics of the godly there. But listen just again as we close this morning. The blessings that belong to those that belong to the Lord, who trust in the Lord. Listen to the blessings, please. God shall give you the desires of your heart. That's what God will do. Or run away. Get them. How wonderful. Isn't that a beautiful scene? You know, beautiful property the Lord has given us. So wonderful. Just one of the close was this. Again, just listen to the blessings that belong to us as we trust the Lord. God shall give you the desires of your heart. God shall bring things to pass. God shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. God shall bring forth your justice as the noonday. The righteous shall inherit the earth. The righteous shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright. Their inheritance shall be forever, he says. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. The righteous shows mercy and gives. The steps of a good man and a good woman, of course, are ordered by the Lord. God delights in the way of the righteous. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholds him with his right hand. We can stand on that promise. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, blessings that we see, nor his descendants begging bread. I've walked on this earth for 40-some years with the Lord, and I see that verse to be true. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. God is always there. He'll stay with the righteous. He'll stay with us. Goes on. The psalmist says his descendants are blessed. The righteous dwells forevermore. The Lord does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. His tongue talks of justice. The law of the Lord is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The Lord will not leave him in the wicked's hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. The future of the righteous is peace. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. God is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. God shall deliver the righteous from the wicked, and God shall save the righteous. Amen? Amen. Are we blessed people? Extremely blessed people. That's what I feel the Lord has for us today, just to rejoice in who he is. Amen? Is God not good? He loves each and every one of us. And we have a great responsibility to go and preach the gospel to anyone we can. Whoever it is, the highways, the byways, search wherever we can go and speak to people about the Lord. We have another responsibility, those that come to the Lord, to be in the Word of God. I have a privilege of being with this one person. Every 2 weeks we gather at 7:30 in the morning. We go into the Word of God. It's fun. It's exciting to do that. There's a hunger there, an excitement there. I pray that each and every one of us will experience that. Find people that you can disciple. Make sure you have a Paul in your life, somebody that's older, more experienced, more mature in the Lord. But make sure you have a Timothy that you can turn around and disciple. Pray for that. Pray for a Paul if you don't have it. Pray for a Timothy if you want it. I pray that you want that. Could be your child. Could be your wife. Could be your neighbor right next to you, whatever it is. Preach the gospel. Disciple people. Go into all the world by the power of the Holy Spirit and tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Ed, you want to come up? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the simplicity of your word. In Psalm 37, Lord, there's so many different things that we could spend a whole Sunday on each aspect, each characteristic of the godly. We can learn from the wicked that we don't want to go that path. But we are so grateful, Lord, for the blessings that you have given us, the blessings because we have faith in you. Let us trust in you, Lord, with all of our heart. Let us not lean on our own understanding. Let us acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths, Lord, in everything. For today, we love you, we praise you, and worship you. Bless your people. Thank you for Jesus. But we again want to thank you for the United States of America. And Lord, may we be the light. May we be the salt on the streets of America, telling anybody that we can, there is eternal life. There is righteousness. There is goodness. Use us in that way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.